about Mizmor Shir, Mizmor Chot Lamed, Mizmor Lamed, page 258, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. We say that we use this Mizmor, at least in Nusach Ashkenaz, to open up Pesukei D'Zimra. Pesukei D'Zimra begins with this Mizmor. Why? So there are very deep reasons why, but Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in his sefer, in the sefer that they put out from him, okay, I don't think he would ever, but it's an interesting sefer, and he says very similar, because it says in the pasuk, there's a pasuk here later on, and it says, Bo'erev yolin bechi, v'la boikerina. This is what he says. This is the reason why this mizmor is recited for Ashkenaz to open up Pesukei D'Zimra. I think what he's trying to say is this: when you daven Shacharis, you're not just daven Shacharis. It's a new day. It's a new day, and we daven Shacharis. That's not the way to look at it. Shacharis is a transformation. It is a transformation from the evening. Don't look at Shacharis in a vacuum. It's a new day, a new tefillah. Shacharis, what you're doing by Shacharis is, it's like in the Teuchacha, Mahapech, the Klolo Lebracha. Okay, the Chassidim used to go to the Rebbe for Parshas Acha, for Parshas Bichol Kosai, Parshas Kisavai, who would be the Balkriya? The Rebbe was the Balkriya for the Teuchacha. Why the Rebbe? Because only the Rebbe knows how to be Mahapech, Klolo Lebracha. In the evening, Bo'erev Yolin Bechi. At night, you go to sleep, a lot of problems. You take to bed with you a lot of problems. A lot of difficulties. Go to the day, you're presented with many challenges, many issues, many things, and now it comes, and now you go to, what's going to be? You go to sleep. You wake up in the morning, Vila Boike Arena. There's a transformation which, how does this transformation come about? I don't know. Emunah, Betachin, Tzila, when you go to sleep. What exactly, by the way, is the purpose of going to sleep? Why did man make it that? Why did Hashem create a human being that he needs to sleep? Hashem is infinite. Hashem doesn't sleep. Hinei lo yunum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. So why does man need to go to sleep? Let man stay awake 24/7. Why is there a purpose of going to sleep? So I don't know. I don't have a good answer. These the Kabbalistic concepts. Yaakov Avinu, he went to sleep. Yaakov, he learned in Shem Ve'eva for 14 years. He then travels to Lavan, and then he stops over in Basel, and Vayolon Sham Balayla Hahu. He takes 12 stones, and the 12 stones become one stone, puts it around his head, and he goes to sleep. Vayachaloim Vihine Sula Mutsa Varitsa. It seems that going to sleep is a time of the day where you connect. I'm not just talking about the simple, you recharge your body. The person becomes weak, and he needs to replenish. Hashem made it that when a person goes to sleep, how does this work? I don't know how this works. That when a person goes to sleep, his body rejuvenates. Why? Why is that so? How does this work in the mind that when you close your eyes and you go into a state of subconscious that you're, when you wake up, you have koyach? What do you do? Well, you put gasoline into your body? I mean, what do you do? You swallowed some Lysol? What did you do in the middle of the night that changed your... I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean anything personal. I'm a Trump supporter, I really am. I didn't vote for him the first time. I voted for the second time. I always voted for the loser my whole life. Every single election, I went to the Cheshman.
Let us know in advance.
Every election, I always voted for the loser. First time, I didn't vote for Trump. But the second time I did. but what's going on? Why is that? So the biology, I don't know. I don't know the biology. But Chazal dwell upon the concepts. The concept of going to sleep is there is some type of, you check in, like you go, people work in a company, Chaim Blin, I see all the workers, they come in the morning, you check in. They have a machine, you have a card. They still have that machine, maybe they don't have it anymore. Inside the office over there. The worker comes, you take your card, you check in, you stamp in. You check in. You gotta check in to go. Yeah. Every night you gotta check in your card. You gotta swipe your card to acknowledge I am present. I am here. When you go to sleep, you go to Shemayim to check in. And when you go to Shemayim, once you're there already, there's some type of communication. Deposits and withdrawals. There are things that go on in Shemayim. Something along those lines. You deposit your Ma'asim Tovim, your Chasadim, and they give you a refreshment. Here the pasuk is saying, over here it's saying, Bo'eref, in the evening, Yolin Bechi. You check in, and you present to Hashem all the problems that you've accumulated. You've accumulated throughout the day. When you wake up, Hashem gives you renewed strength and solutions. Siat Deshmaya, V'laboiker Rina. Today, all the problems are going to go away because they have been acknowledged. When you go to sleep, there's basically an acknowledgement. You have issues. And in Shemayim, we are responsible for you. We created you. Hashem created you. If you create someone, you're responsible for them. I told you, there was a guy, I told you 100 times, a guy here in the Shir, he's no longer, unfortunately, he's no longer alive. And he told me he was a very sick person, an elderly person. And he told me that all of his children want to come for Pesach. And he says, I can't do this. I'm in a wheelchair. My wife, we can't do this. They want to come. Then he says, but you know something?
Self-service.
I brought them into this world. That comes with a price. It's my responsibility to make them happy. I was shocked when he said that. Because I was brought up by parents. I brought you into the world, get lost. You're on your own. No, you be responsible.
There's a third payback time.
Payback, that's also good. I was brought up in a generation, I don't know, by parents whose hashkafa was, we bring you into this world, we help you, but then you got it, that's it, you're on your own. And obviously that's true for everyone, but this person, he really opened up my mind to a fact that's also true. If you have 12 children, you're responsible for them. Then they're not just weeds out there in the field. If you bring a person into this world, you have a responsibility to that, to a degree. Okay, so obviously.
To bring them to a certain state.
So to bring them to that state. Sorry, obviously, once you come to a certain point, you know. But unfortunately, there are people that bring people into this world.
And
they're not equipped. They're not equipped to bring them to the basic things. How are you going to support them? How are you going to buy them an afikoman prayer? There are certain basic things you have to give children. They should be healthy. They should live in poverty. They should have opportunities of education, opportunities to make a job. That's right, you're responsible. He says to me, I brought them into this world. It's my duty to give them happiness to a degree. I thought he was going too far. That, you know, at this stage in your life, you're not responsible for nothing at this point in your life. You did more. But he opened up my mind to acknowledge, that's right. You bring a person into this world, it comes with a responsibility. It comes with, and Hashem is the same thing. Hashem created us.
He's responsible
for us. Hashem created us. Olam Chesed, but Hashem did not put men into this world to torture him. Hashem put us into this world, and he's responsible for us. When it comes night, you go home, and you say, you know, we got these problems. We went through a day, and we have a lot of issues. And Hashem, you're responsible. So Hashem says, I accept the responsibility. And when you wake up in the morning, in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you dive into Hashem. Hashem gives you the tools to daven, to pray to Hashem, to transform me. Mahapech kilolo lebracha. Mahapech your problems into solutions. This is what Reb Chaim Kanievsky says. So it's a very deep idea. Because it's being megalah to you. It's only one pasuk. You have a whole mizmor. The mizmor discusses things that you would assume here have nothing to do with davening. What does it do with davening? Chanukah sabayis l'davening? And okay, you can say drush the whole day. Fine. There are a lot of beautiful ideas. Maybe we'll touch upon some of the ideas why this mizmor has been selected to open up Suki de Zimra. But let's talk pshat. Simple pshat. So he says, there's one pasuk that's so critical in this mizmor, and because of that one pasuk, we have no choice but to say the whole mizmor. And that's the pasuk, Bo'erev Yolam Bechi V'Lavokarina. And that's coming to teach you a yisoid. The yisoid is, shachris is not just, okay, fresh start. Shachris is a chelek of the transformation of what happened in the Erev. there's a transformation. In the Erev, darkness is a zman of choshech, of golus, of tzara. And when the day is over, it's typically yolin bechi, especially if you're like Meir, who says, tikin chatzos every night. Tikin chatzos, I can hear where I live, I can hear the koilos, the brokim, from his tikin chatzos. Tikun rachel, tikun leia. Especially if he gets tikun rachel, then mamish. So we have the Erev yolin. In the morning, it's a transformation of the bechi of the Laila. That is, that when do you really do this? What in the Beis HaMikdash, everything in davening is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. They avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Uneshalmo fadim sefaseinu. What are they? The first thing they did in the morning, the Beis HaMikdash, Terumas HaDeshen. What is Terumas HaDeshen? It's the chibur of yesterday and today. What is the deshen? The deshen is the leftovers. It's yesterday we brought korbanos, massive amounts of whatever the korbanos were. The tamishol shachar, tamishol ben abayim. If klal yishol went and they came, klal yishol came, and they brought korbanos. So all of those korbanos have been burnt on the mizbeach, and what's left of the korbanos? Ash. And what do you do the next day? You pick up that ash and you arrange it. On the tapuach, if there's too much, you take it out to the Beis HaDeshen. You are taking the avoida of yesterday and you are acknowledging it and dealing with it. The first thing that you do in the morning, is you deal with the product, with an acknowledgement of the avoida of yesterday. Every day begins with a hemshach. It's a continuation of yesterday. You don't just start the day, okay, new day, new karbonos. Why don't we say that at the middle of the night, or at very late after chatzos, the cleaning crew comes. The janitor comes, clean the mizbeach, sweep the mizbeach, remove all the ash, dust everything off, and close the Beis HaMikdash, and the next morning, Alois HaShachar, Kurois HaGever, Barkoi, they open up the Beis HaMikdash, and they come in, and they now do the Shnei Gizrei Lechem, Tamishol Shachar. What's the Terumas HaDeshen? Why is the Terumas HaDeshen the first thing you do in the morning? There's no building, there's no building where the janitorial services come in at 7 o'clock to go clean up the building. All of the janitorial services are done in the middle of the night. So you come in the morning, it's fresh. Not in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the cleaning service is the first thing you do in the morning. Why? Because the cleaning is a recognition that yesterday we did some very important things here. Yesterday we accomplished quite a bit. We brought korbanos. There was a lot of things done yesterday. Let's build upon that. Let's rearrange everything. Let's clean everything up and go further. That's the way it's done in the Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. But you acknowledge what happened last night before you went to sleep. The Siddur begins. See, the Siddur doesn't follow the rules. The Siddur begins with Moda Ani. There's no Siddur except for the article Machzor. That begin with Mincha and Ma'ariv. In the Klal Yisrael, open a Siddur. What does Siddur begin with? Moda Ani Lefanecha Melech Ha'Avikav. Excuse me, in Halacha, when does the day begin? Say Sakri Chavim. So the Siddur should begin with V'hu Rachum, Ma'ariv.
The Shabbos
the Machzorim. I told you, the modern day Machzorim. You buy Rosh Hashanah Machzor, it begins with Mincha. Mincha Erev Rosh Hashanah. You buy Pesach Machzor, Pesach Machzor is more complicated because it begins with Bdikas Chametz. But a Siddur, it's an amazing concept, does not begin with Ma'ariv. It begins with Moda Ani Lefanecha Melech HaVikayam. And why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the day begins in the morning, even though halachically in the calendar the day changes at Tzei Sakri Chavim, but they lock up the Beis HaMikdash at night. At night, the Beis HaMikdash is shut down. They lock the doors. After Chatzos, after they burn all of the Imurim on the Mizbeach, they finish burning everything, they lock the doors. They have keys. The place is shut down. And they didn't clean up anything. It's a big mess. There was no cleaning done. When does the cleaning crew come in? In the morning. First thing in the morning. That's how the day starts. That's not the way we do things today. Because we're wrong today. They're right. Cleaning up is an acknowledgement of yesterday. You cannot begin a new day until you reflect that yesterday was choshuv, and there's some unfinished business, and we have to build upon that. What? By karbonus, the lila is ha'ilech achar hayoyim, correct. So that's part of it, that's correct. Okay, that's correct, okay, that's part, you're right, you are correct. By karbonus, the lila is ha'ilech achar hayoyim. Okay. Okay, so you're saying that, okay, that's already a little bit drush. You're going into the Chanukah Sabayis. Chanukah Sabayis, but the Pashup Shad is this, the Bayi, you know, it's Chanukah is only once. Or there's Chanukah, it was a renewal. Every day is the Chanukah Sabayis? Okay, so that's a very deep idea. Every day it's a, but that's a different idea. Acknowledge, I accept. I'm just presenting over here Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says something very, I think it's very profound. Is this mizmor, the key pasuk of this mizmor as to why it's used for shachris is Bo'erev Yolin Bechi V'Labokerino. Don't think you're just starting a new day today. Today is a transformation of the difficulties where you left off last night. And as a parallel to that is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen is an acknowledgement of what took place yesterday and where we build upon what happened. Okay, let's now go to the beginning. Mizmor Shel Chanukah Sabayis L'David. So this mizmor, who composed this mizmor? Was it David who composed the mizmor, or was it Shlomo HaMelech? It's not so simple. Okay, I think most of the Mefarshim here on this page seem to say that it was David. Now David never saw the Bayis Rishon. David desperately wanted to build the Bayis Rishon. Nasan HaNavi gave him the bad news that you may not build the Bayis Rishon. There's a very whole story to this. David said to himself, how could it be that I'm sitting in a palace? David lived in a beautiful palace. He built his palace. And then he says, how could it be that I'm living in a palace and Hashem's divine presence is sitting in shmatas, is in curtains? It was an ear David, he bought it from Noiv Givayin. How could it be? How could it be that I went and I built a bias for myself before I built a permanent resting place for Hashem? So he had this epiphany in the middle of the night. This epiphany, I have to go build a magnificent structure for Hashem. Now we have to appreciate Meikara Ma'asavar, Ula B'Soif Ma'asavar. I mean, if David already built his palace, if he built his palace, all of a sudden, you know, it's not nice that I'm living in a nice palace. I have running water, I have air conditioning, I have plumbing, and the Shekhinah, it's in the dark. There's no lights, there's no air conditioning, there's no plumbing, there's no carpeting, there's no marble. How could it be? So, what changed? Me'ikor ma'asavar, ula b'soif ma'asavar. What happened? So the answer is, enochanami. I mean, you hear this today. In Lakewood. In Lakewood, I mean, this is a big debate, and obviously everything has to be balanced. Is if someone hears that someone bought a house in Lakewood, someone is learning in Koilo. I've heard this from someone. I think he went mamish ballistic. He found out that someone that he knows, he bought a house in Lakewood. In Lakewood, and the house has a swimming pool. He's learning in Koilo, and he bought a house. It's shver, obviously. He doesn't have any money. This guy, a young guy, 25-year-old kid, was married, already has two kids, and it's shver bought in the house in Lakewood. Who knows how much they paid? $500,000 then? Maybe it was, at that point it was less. And he found out it has a swimming pool. So he said, I remember the word, what a racket. Koilo, you're learning in Kollel, and you have a house that has a swimming pool? That's not what Kollel is. Kollel is pas b'melech toichal. Umayim b'mesura with sinrashim.
Her wife and kids also?
Yeah! This is the Kollel life. In other words, he would say now, and he doesn't, he's saying, if you want to learn Kollel, you have to live, it's a din. It's a din, you have to live in poverty. You have to. Otherwise, it's not fair. I work the whole day. I go to work. I get up early, 6 o'clock in the morning, to be in shul at 6:45, to go to finish davening by 7:30, to be on the train by quarter to 8, to be by my desk by 8:45, and I work nonstop. I have a few minutes to go daven mincha, and I come home 6 o'clock, thoroughly exhausted, and then I eat supper, talk to my wife, find out all the bad news that happened today, and then I go to learn daf yomi, 9 o'clock, 9 to 10.
You don't have time to swim anyway.
And this guy has a swimming pool? And he's drinking coffee here and there?
Do you think he's right?
There's a balance. Obviously, there's a balance. Mm-hmm. There's a balance. So the people have an attitude that if you're in Kollel, if you're sitting, you're being paid to sit and to learn, you have to live in poverty. You have to live mamish in poverty. Now, that's not nice. That's not nice. That's not the way, that's not nice, obviously. But obviously, someone living in Kollel is not, it would raise people's eyebrows if you walk into a palace, okay? And they're living a life that's beyond what a person who works for a living, who's nene miyagiyas kapoy, is doing. That's obviously we got a problem here. Your values and priorities are really corrupt. Obviously there's a balance, and obviously you can't compare, and every single person, every single situation is different. And today there's much more of an attitude today in the world. I'm just telling you, tell me that if you're gonna tell people to learn in poverty, in a very short period of time the whole college will go bankrupt. Will go down the drain. There's an attitude today that people that are learning should learn with dignity. That's how it is, whatever it is, for better, for worse. Like I told you, don't generalize, and let's not go there. The only reason why I'm mentioning this is, this is a very basic question. It's not my question. This is the question that everyone discusses. David HaMelech, he builds a beautiful palace for himself. It's called the Beis Arozen. It was called the Beis Arozen, a palace in Shmuel. He built this magnificent palace called the Beis Arozen. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim learned that when it says here in the Pasuk, Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis L'David, this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. This was referring to his own bayis. He built his own palace. Look at the Ibn Ezra. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis Yesha, I remember Shetziva David, let's go further, drop down. I know it's on the page, I didn't bring my the Akar of Eli, okay, go down 4 lines. Kizeh HaMizmar, Chibroi B'chanukas Beisoi Beis Arozim. He built a palace. Okay, he built his own palace. Ki HaKosev Lo Yizkir Beis Hashem. V'chamohu, okay, doesn't mention, it doesn't say the Beis Hashem. This Mizmar is describing his own personal beautiful palace that he lived in, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he does not say over here the mention of the Beis Hashem. Okay? Private bias, private house, this is my residence. No one has to see what I live in my house. But that's not the Pashup Shat. 95% of the commentators learn that this only refers to the Beis HaMikdash, and in fact they say, the fact that it says bias, it says mizmor, and it says shir, this mizmar partially refers to the bayis rishon, and shir refers to the bayis sheni. This mizmar encompasses an expression of praise to Hashem for giving us the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni. And if you read this mizmar very carefully, it vacillates between elements that appear in the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni. What about the bayis shlishi? Ayin lo yira'asa. Elokim Zulascha. No one saw the grandeur, the glory of the Bayis Shlishi, not even David, and therefore David could not possibly write a poem, a mizmar, giving praise to Hashem. David al pi ruach hakodesh. David never lived to see the Bayis Rishayim. David died before the Bayis Rishayim. David certainly didn't see the Bayis Sheni. He didn't even lay out the plans of the Bayis Sheni. But David al pi ruach hakodesh, he saw there would be a Bayis Sheni. So David wrote a mizmar to give shevach to Hashem for giving Klal Yisrael the Bayis Rishayim and the Bayis Sheni, but not the Bayis Shlish, because that Hashem did not give him a vision, just like no one ever saw Eden. We know what the Gan, everyone knows what Gan Eden looks like. I mean, everyone's been there many times. I'm sure everyone knows what Gan Eden. I'm sure you've gone, on vacation to Gan Eden. And we know, but no one's seen Eden. No one has seen what Eden looks like. Eden itself. And there are other examples. Okay, but in any event, Meikara Masava Ulubasaif Masava. And the answer is Meikara, you know who David held? What a racket. A Ben Torah does not live in a home that has a swimming pool, no matter what. It's a Chil Hashem. It's a Chil Hashem. Someone in Koila, Toirosai, Umnosai, should have a swimming pool? It's a Chil Hashem. You painted your home? You don't have, if you walk into the home of a Talmud Chacham and the wallpaper is not peeling, and it doesn't look like the home of the Chazon Ish. It doesn't look then, as then it's Achil Hashem. Because this world is a proizdar for the next world. And part of the basic understanding of Torah, what leaps off the page of every Daf Gemara is, this world, life is short, this world is temporary, and this world is nothing of nothing, and it's just an opportunity to prepare for the Olam HaNitzchi. And any time you do something nice and fancy, you're going, it's keneged kol haTorah kula. And therefore, that's right. The Shechina doesn't rest in a palace. You don't go put the Aron HaKodesh in a makom where there's gold, and there's glitter, and there. The Beis HaMikdash is 10, like with the Mishkan, there were tents and there were pegs. It's relatively speaking primitive. It's nice, okay, the Kruvim is gold. There's a little bit of a balance. But relatively speaking, it's called, as the Targum, the words we learned in the Targum, Targum says the Ohel Moed. So we, Americans, love to translate the word Ohel Moed to mean the tent of meeting. At first, the word tent is not a nice word. A tent. You live in a bias. You don't go live in tents. You live in the sukkah the whole year. You live in the tent you buy on Amazon for $35. What? It's in the Torah, so it's an oil, and then it's called the moed. How do you translate the word moed? A vad. The vad. A place of meeting, a place where you meet. That's what Rashi says, and that's what we. But the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says Zimna. Moed means temporary. It's just the Ol Zimna. Moed means at the right time. It's just a temporary structure. The Torah defines the Ohel Moed as a tent that is temporary. It's not because, oh, we're in the desert now, we're in the desert and we're traveling, so it's just not practical to build a beautiful palace in the desert, because before we blink, that Nani Yaakovot is going to go and travel. That, if you ask the average person, why is it called an Ohel Moed? And according to the Targum Onkelos, it's a tent, a zimna, a temporary structure. They'll look at you like you don't understand why it's called a temporary structure. There are Anani HaKavod, and any moment the Anani HaKavod can move, and that means, boys, time to pack up. We're going, deploying, nose up in 10 minutes. Okay, the nose up in 10 minutes, the airplane. What's it called?
Wheels up.
Wheels up. I forgot my television show, so I'm sure I'm cutting my heels. Wheels up in 10 minutes. Okay, wheels up. That's why it's a, so that's the Pashat Pshat. Wrong, that's not the Pshat. That's not the pshat. It wouldn't make a difference if we were living in Eretz Yisrael and we were secure, we're not going anywhere. The Mokom Hashroas Hashchina is delicate. It's delicate.
Are you sure that's what the Targum means? That it's not a place where one is invited to meet?
I'm pretty sure. No, Zimna means temporary. I'm pretty sure. We have to go back. I'm pretty sure that maybe I'm saying the wrong word. I don't remember what I'm translating. He says it 1,000 times. Ol Moed.
It would fit.
Yeah.
To call it a place where one is invited to meet.
Zimna, that's Moed. That's Rashi. Okay. If I remember correctly, we used a sefer in the afternoon called Ma'at Tzori. And when we first started, he made a big deal about this. He had a big write-up on this. The chilik between Rashi and Unkelis. There are certain fundamental differences between Rashi and Unkelis that go out throughout the entire Tanakh. And this, I remember, the way he explained, it's not my idea, is that the Rashi learns it's a place of meeting, and the Targum learns, no, it's a temporary structure. But what would be if the Shechina would not go anywhere? That we would be permanent. Doesn't matter. The Torah says the place where Hashem rests His divine presence, by definition, is Shvach HaMaisis. It's a tent. It's temporary. You know why? Because the Shechina is a mafunak. It's delicate. You mess with the Shechina, it leaves. It gets insulted. The Shechina is something that you have to earn. You continuously need. You don't behave yourself, goodbye. Kiva Moed. What does it mean in that pasuk? I don't know. What does it mean?
The time has come.
The designated time. That's something else.
Okay. Place.
You have to know what it means in the context. But how the Targum? Okay. But generally, David may question me before. May korah masavar ul b'soif masavar. David built a palace, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he wakes up in a cold sweat. What's going on here? I have a beautiful palace. I have all the amenities of life, and the Beis HaMikdash, the shul that I daven in, there are leaks, and the floor is cracked, and we don't have any Aron Kodesh, we have a safe, and the bima, mayor, that bima that you show me from your grandson's bar mitzvah, come on, they can't have a nice bima? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, in a chanami, so we need to give them a donation of $100 million, they should upgrade the school. So the answer is David Mei Kari. That's right. The Mishkan, you don't paint, you don't decorate. It's meant to be a place that is in a state of disrepair, because it's part of the message of Torah and Shechina. You're in this world for a short time. This world, you're here to prepare. And if you're going to make it too beautiful, it's a contradiction. It sends what? The Mishkan, but it's even though the Mishkan is made, what's made out of gold? What's made out of gold? The Kalim. The Kalim. Not the walls.
What?
Not the walls. I mean, the Kroshim were plated. They were Kroshim, okay, it was plated with gold, it's true. They were plated with gold. Not with gold, with the Kroshim were plated with gold. Is that correct? And the Adonim was silver. The Adonim was silver. Okay, but still, even though there was a lot of gold, but it's still curtains. It's still the whole essence of the Mishkan is still, there are a lot of contradictions in the Mishkan. Ein Anios is the whole general. Ein Anios b'mkoyim Ashirus, but Torah's Chosa. Al Nemoinon Shel Yisrael. Okay, the shovel they used on Yom Kippurim was made from copper. Was not made from gold, because if it was made from gold, it would get burnt, it would get destroyed. At Torah Chosal, why Yom Kippurim? Or find a gevir, or give a donation to buy a new shovel every year for Yom Kippurim. The Oroin, there was wood. It was only plated.
But
the inside was Atzi Eres. Why couldn't it be pure gold? The kapyrus was pure gold, but the aron was wood. It was plated with a sheet of gold on the outside, a sheet of gold on the inside. But the chunk, the main part of the aron was made atzei shittim. But you cannot deny the fact that the Mishkan is a temporary structure. Curtains, clothes, it's not a permanent structure. That's a message. Because Torah is delicate. Torah is an ohel. You don't behave, we go away. David, in his youth, when he became Melech, that's right, I'm the Melech. The Melech is in charge of the gashminess of the country. And the Melech has dignity, the Melech has to live in royalty, a Melech has to have all the amenities of life. But the Shekhinah? No, the Shekhinah is supposed to be the trailer. Basically, the Mishkan was a nice trailer. In Lakewood, there are a lot of nice trailers, but they're trailers. Okay, so there are a lot of shuls in Eretz Yisrael in Lakewood that are, they're mamish trailers. They've been refabbed, but they're trailers. They're just not saying that. That's really what the Mishkan was. That's how it's supposed to be. Because if you would make the Mishkan into a beautiful, beautiful structure, it sends the wrong message. When David HaMelech aged, with age comes Chochmah. Mashayasa Hazman Lo Yasa HaSeich. David had a change of heart. And his change of heart was, no, Adaram, that even though it's true, Torah, this world is temporary, this world is just a short preparation for the next world, the temporary nature of this world has to have dignity. And the dignity of this world has to be even greater than the dignity that we have for ourselves. There are two different ways to look at it. And the Torah told Klal Yisrael to build an Ohel Moed. There's a certain message in that. But yet the Torah says this Ohel Moed is only temporary. When you come to the Eretz Yisrael, I want you to build a Mikdash. And where do you draw the balance? Should Son and Kollel have a swimming pool? Where do you draw the balance? Where how much dignity nechashivus do you give B'nai Torah? How much chashivas do you give to the shul? Should the shul be paved? Should the shul be paved with marble? You know, there's a very big dilemma. You know, they built Chaim Berlin many years ago. Chaim Berlin today, they're I'm not saying anything bad. They're much nicer about the Midrashim today, paved in gold and silver. But when Chaim Berlin built their building 30 years ago, it was a novelty. It was a very big novelty because all of the shuls in this neighborhood and very much. It was way, way above the standards.
People were very upset.
Right, you remember.
I remember.
Very upset. Too much marble. Way too much marble. Okay, they're like, what's going on over here? This is not. And this is the Beis Medrash. We're not talking about people in their private homes, people living in poverty. We're talking about in the Beis Medrash. And I remember those years, and it was a lot. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer is masking. There was a lot of. Discussion, and is this correct? Do you do such a thing like this? You want to build a nice space for fun, make a big nice open room. Don't go put marble. Don't make chandeliers. That's not today. Chaim Berlin is not from the fanciest buildings. There are some magnificent yeshivas. What can they maintain it? Because the Baruch Hashem, they have the money to maintain it.
You don't remember the old yeshiva?
I remember the old yeshiva. I remember the bathrooms.
I don't remember. You wouldn't believe it was such a shock having yeshiva change.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Right. I think you're 100% right.
I mean, to a degree.
At the time it was built, it was a palace.
At the time, right, I'm saying 30 years ago, it was too much of a palace. It was too much, and there were a lot of complaints. People said this is the message that you're sending is wrong. And today, I mean, I told you, today I could show you many yeshivas today right here in this neighborhood that are much more over the top, way over, actually some shuls.
I remember Rebbe Lilienthal used to say, you know, the board of education, the colleges and everything, they have beautiful institutions.
They do?
Yes.
No, they don't.
You ever see Princeton, Harvard, you know, all these campuses?
I was there, Harvard.
I was there.
And from the outside, it's very nice. Inside, it's a dump. Brooklyn College from the outside was rated the most beautiful. They redid it. Now, I wasn't there since they redid it. They knocked down half the buildings and they redid it. I've not been there in a long time. Security wouldn't let me in there anymore.
If a yeshiva would have a public school, wow.
Brooklyn College on the outside was, it was rated in the most beautiful campuses in the country. But inside is a dump, a garbage dump. Boiling Hall.
Oh, you went inside.
I lived in there for years. Boiling, and the place, the Horbin, the library was disgusting. Now they built a $42 million library, Brooklyn College. They built a the last 2 years I was there, they finished building the library. $42 million library. Spectacular. Spectacular. Before that, ugh, what a dump. What a dump. Ingersoll, nice too, what a dump. From the outside, it looked very nice. You go in the building, there's the Horbin. Okay, so I don't know what you're saying. Harvard also, the outside is beautiful. Inside, nothing. I don't know. I don't know what's doing there. In any event, this is a debate. And this debate between is not, we have to appreciate this in David. Me'ekara ma'sovar ulibisoif ma'sovar. David built for himself a magnificent palace. The Beis Arozin. And some of the Farshim learned that when it says over here, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, we are referring to his palace. We're not referring to the Beis HaMikdash. When he built his palace, the Oren HaKodesh was residing in curtains. Something that you can buy on Amazon for $30. Okay, I'm sure I'm just joking a little bit. It was made a little bit nicer. I listen, David, you're living in marble and fancy, and the Oren HaKodesh, where the Kohanim do the Avoda, the ceiling is leaking. There are cracks.
It's the contrast. I mean, I'm living in the trashy thing, so okay.
But now David, all his whole life, when he built the palace, he didn't think about this question. He didn't think about it. It didn't bother him. He woke up in the middle of the night after he's living. Oh, you know, how could it talk about? He never thought about this question. The answer is because David originally was from the people who held that when Chaim Blin built their beautiful building 30 years ago, what kind of business? What a racket! You don't go build a Beis Medrash that has a chandeliers. What kind of nonsense is this? We never had this. This is not the way it's supposed to be. What?
He would chandelier couldn't see. They put on the high intensity lights in the house, so you can see.
I don't understand.
They had it was dark in there.
They right, so they added it 20 times. They had a hole for 30 years. They keep adding more light poles. They redid the ceiling 10 times already. They changed the lights in the chandelier. They put up more lights on the ceiling. Okay, fine, but that's not the point. The point is, when they built Chaim Blin, there were many people who were very disturbed. You know who was part of that group of people? David HaMelech. David HaMelech, this is not the way it's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's supposed to leak. There's supposed to be leaks. It's supposed to be dirty. It's supposed to be not properly maintained. You know why? Because that's Torah. The message is, don't get too comfortable in this world. When you're dealing with the Ruchnius, the goal of Ruchnius is to prepare yourself for the next world. Once you start enjoying and taking delight in the Gashmias, you're going to get very distracted, and you're going to fall down the slippery slope, and before you turn around, you're going to find yourself being pampered and having values that are not right. That was David's mahalech in life when he built his palace. He built his palace because he's the melech, and the melech royalty, he has to entertain heads of state, he has to care for the people, there has to be respect for the king. Money talks. Malchus demands that he be in the state of... But Torah? You don't pay a kol yungalai more than $300 a month. Let him starve. Then, when he got older in life, he's changed his mind. He says, you know what? I want to give a donation of $100 million to build a new Beis Medrash that should be a palace. Because Torah has to be choshev. It's a change of hasaga. It's a change of attitude. David then became the person who decided we're going to build a very fancy building for yeshiva. That's right, he had a change of approach in life. He had a midlife crisis. David had a change of opinion. People do this. People, they come around and they change. There's a change of attitude. Why is there a change of attitude? No, we don't know how this works. The human condition. There are different tekufas in life. In this tekufa in your life, based upon the environment, based upon what's happening in the world, the background, it's better to keep a low key. Don't go overdo it. And then it comes a time in life where, you know, people need chizuk. People need a shtickle chizuk. You have to go and elevate. You have to, Torah has to be choshev. Is this a mahalik that's going to go on forever? Maybe not. Maybe in 20 years from now, in 10 years from now, there's going to be a new approach that the times now demand. There's too much gashmias. You know, I know someone who gives a very nice daf yomi shir. So it was an amazing thing to me. He gives a very nice daf yomi shir. Nice, I would say about 10 people come to his shir. And some of the people there are very comfortable. And every time they make a siyum, they do it very nice. They have a catered meal, they go to a restaurant, they do it very nice. They were messiahing not that long ago, say their moed. And I know I from far I know about the shir. And I was wondering, we know they're going to make a scene, because sometimes they invite people who daven there to come to the scene, and there was no scene. There was not. So I asked the person who gives the shir, how come, did you make a scene? So he said, no, we didn't make a scene. So I said, when are you making the scene? We're not. I said, why not? So he says to me, because the people by me, they're spoiled. Nothing is good enough for them. Last time we made a siyum, they made a siyum in this restaurant, and I see they don't appreciate it. I see that my people in my, you know, covered our Torah. We made a chosh of a siyum, and every little mesechta, chagiga, moikatan, we made a chosh of a siyum, and it bothered me. The last few siyumim is that we spent a lot of money, and we made a very, very chosh of, and it's like, I feel like they're spoiled. I made a macha. I decided to make a macha. You know something you don't appreciate? We're not having a seal. All the people are going to ask you, how come there's no seal? The Maggid Shir decided there's no seal because you're a bunch of spoiled brats. That's what he told me. So here you go, a beautiful building. Because, we have to be machshev Torah. But it comes a point in time, you know, you're taking it for granted. Hashem gives you, you have so much bracha. Do you really appreciate what you have? Are your values distorted? Have you become corrupt? No, maybe now is the time we should change, and let's call in the contractor to take down the chandeliers. We'll hang light bulbs, like in the olden days. Light bulbs, and we'll take out the marble and we'll put some linoleum. What's it called?
Linoleum.
Okay, remember, no, people don't see that anymore too much anymore. We're all spoiled. We don't see that too much anymore. Oh, it has to be, you know, fancy wood and marble and these expensive floors. Let's go back to the older days. Get your priorities in order. Get your priorities in order. Behave yourself. What's life all about anyway? What's it about having food and schnapps and wine and bottles of wine from all $300 bottles of wine? What kind of nonsense is this? Get your priorities in order. Is it about the daf? Or is it about the cigars that we're going to give out at the scene? What's life all about here? Okay, so David had an epiphany. He changed. Meikara, the Oroin was bidafka in an ohel. It's called an ohel moed. It's called a temporary structure. Ula b'soif, he decided, no. The time now has come where Klal Yisrael needs to be machshev the Torah, be machshev the Ruchnius, and we have to build a magnificent, magnificent structure. Yochin, Boyaz, gold trees. The Bayis Rishon was like not to be believed. the grandeur, the money, the splendor, what it was, what was over there. Times have changed. Times have changed. There are different tekufas in life, and that every era has a different demand of how to deal with ruchnias. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. If you want to learn, like Pasha, going back to the base Hamigdash. Now's the time. Now, it's not just what we've accomplished. It's Es Hakoil Osa Yofe Beitoy, in the right time. Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael for 440 years before they built the Beis HaMikdash. 440 years, the attitude was, you don't have a chandelier in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have marble floors in the Beis HaMikdash. Because Torah is an ohel moed, it's temporary. There's a message. After 440 years, David HaMelech decided, now it's a new tekufa. Klal Yisrael has to live with the machshev the Torah, with a different derech. We have to now put up chandeliers, gold trees, build a magnificent, magnificent structure. Times have changed, and that lasted for 410 years, and then Hashem decided, none of the above, none of the above. Everything is too good for you. Now you get out, go to Bavel. And go struggle to survive and then to appreciate something. And then you'll come back and we'll give you something in the middle. The Bayis Sheni was a far cry from the Bayis Rishon. Didn't have nearly anything close to it wasn't paved in gold. It never was. Even when Hurdis redid the Beis HaMikdash, so Taka does say the last, it was the most beautiful building. What? That was the last 100 years. That was the last 100 years. So you see that even in the Bayis Sheni, there were different tekufas of the first 300 years, which Chazal seemed to indicate there was shvach amaisis. Okay. Look, it says during the time of the Hanukkah miracle, it was a dump. They didn't have anything. Even the menorah was made from wood. The menorah, they had to use wooden menorah, or they used spears. When they lit the menorah, the Hanukkah miracle, it was what is makabel tuma? A wooden utensil.
It's not a kli.
No, it is a kli. It pshuti kli means a piece of wood, a piece of wood that's made into a utensil is makabel tuma. Kli eitz a makabel tuma. You put in the mikvah, of course the makabel tuma. If it's a pshuti kli eitz, it's not a base kibble. If it's a piece of wood, a 2x4,
like
schach, slats, are not makabel tuma, a piece of wood. But a kli, if you have a utensil that has a receptacle, of course it's makabel tuma. Kli eitz, then makabel tuma. Stone is not makabel tuma. Clay, avonim are not makabel tuma. Stone is not makabel tuma. Yeah.
I think the problem is, and it's my own feeling, that people were very affluent. Also give a lot of
stuff. That's a side point.
What do you want for them?
Who's has some kindness on them?
Yes.
It's a message. No one has kindness on them. Someone gives a yeshiva $100 million to go build a palace. No one has kindness in that person. The question is, should the yeshiva taka accept the money to build a palace? What is the message? What's the message? You sit and you learn in the yeshiva, and the whole day you're looking at chandeliers. And you're looking at marble.
But we see the Chacham accepted Hurdus to build a Beis HaMikdash.
That's right, David. The Shlomo HaMelech did this. That's right,
no,
Shlomo HaMelech. Today, generally speaking, the more the merrier. Today, the approach is. But everyone here remembers 30 years ago when they built Chaim Berlin. Okay, people remember when they built Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, no one saw such a thing like this. Today, it's no big deal. Like there are many buildings like this that are even fancier in this neighborhood itself. Even this shul is magnificent. Okay? It's unbelievable. We go to the shul over here, this shul over here. What do you want? What do you need over here? I mean, you didn't have it like this 30 years ago. I remember 30 years ago, there was nothing. This didn't exist as part of the shul. It didn't exist 30 years ago.
It
was shvach and isis. All the shuls, the shtiblach, they were houses. It was... They built this brand new building, an unbelievable building. No one ever saw people. I met people walking in the first and they looked around. I remember when the Gera Rebbe came to Chaim Berlin with who came? No, not Rav Steinman. Not Rav Steinman.
He came with the
Gera Rebbe?
Yeah, yeah.
They two came together.
Gera
Rebbe and Steinman. Yeah? Rav Steinman? So I remember the Gera Rebbe, he came to Chaim Berlin, and he was looking, his eyes were looking up at the ceiling. He was like, wow, and they really have such things like this?
He has now.
Yeah, they have now infinitely more. Bells.
He has now.
What?
He built this shit bigger than
after. He has Malchus, the bells. Chaim Berlin built their building before bells.
No, I'm saying Gera now is bigger than bells.
Okay, and Hanani. But when he came to Chaim Berlin, they didn't have those buildings. He didn't have his Gera yet. This was many, many years ago. Chaim Berlin was built before bells. Before bells. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I remember I was in Chaim Berlin one day. It was during lunch. And in walked a whole team of people. They started, what's going on over here? It was during lunch, during Bein Astar. And they started walking around like I would say 10 people, looking up. What's going on over here? You see, they walk in. So they said, these people are the planners, the architects of bells. They're building in Eretz Yisrael a new building. And they're going on a world tour to study nice Choshuva Batei Midrashim, to look at the Milus and to incorporate the Milus into what they're planning to build in Eretz Yisrael. And you know something? Bells, is there a lot of similarities. Someone pointed out to me, there are a lot of similarities between bells and Chaim Berlin. There are a lot of similarities between them in architectural design. You're into this type of stuff. And they were going on a world tour. Yeah.
But before, here, that castlet in Flatbush, the old shuls, like the Likud tent there, which is across Konesh Ocean Avenue, Kingsway,
okay, Kingsway, it's true.
On Ocean Park, the big shul, Ocean Avenue.
Right, these are some of the conservative shuls. Right, they're conservative. Yes. It's true. You're saying it's true. You're right. It's true. But a lot of these were conservative shuls.
The yeshivas
were always very poor. The Ocean Parkway, Jewish Center. It's magnificent. Problem is, it was a conservative shul. Now they put a mechitza down the middle. It's not so nice. When you put the mechitza down the middle, it destroys the whole yofi of the, because it was not built as an Orthodox shul. Okay, Kingsway Jewish Center, you're right. Magnificent. But it was very not common. So when Chaim Berlin built their building, there were people that really didn't like it. They really thought this is wrong. This is wrong. Today, you don't hear this type of stuff. Lakewood built a few Batei Midrashim that make Chaim Berlin look like a matchbox. Go to Lakewood, they built these unbelievable buildings in Lakewood. Batei Midrashim. Magnificent. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you have bells, and you have the Mir Yeshiva. Mir Yeshiva built multiple buildings. Each one of them is more magnificent than Chaim Berlin. And all this happened in the last 30 years. Do you know how many buildings have gone up that are just unbelievable? But one of the very first, at least in my little world, my little orbit that I live in, was Chaim Berlin. And when they built it, it was wow. And people said, is this the proper thing to do? Where does that attitude come from? Well, David HaMelech expressed that attitude. David built for himself a palace, but not for Hashem, because it sends the wrong message. For 440 years, the Shekhinah was resting in a tent. And then there was a decision made. Times have changed. It's now time. There's no longer a danger of building a beautiful base Hamigdash for Hashem. Times have changed. And they built for Hashem the most magnificent structure in the world. David woke up in the middle of the night. He goes to Nasan and tells Nasan, I want to do this. Is this proper? David did not do this on his own. David went to Nasan HaNavi. Nasan HaNavi had to make a decision for David, a major decision. Is it the proper thing to go build for Hashem a palace? Is that a proper hashkafa? Is it a proper Jewish hashkafa to do something like this? Should bells go build what they built? They haven't ever been in bells. You've never seen anything like this your whole life. What's going on over there? It's not just a shul. Go downstairs. They have bought in midrashim. It looks like Grand Central Station. What's going on over there? Is this a proper hashkafa? Is this the way we do things in Klal Yisrael? And Nasan HaNavi said, yes, it is. The time has come. David goes back and he gets to work. Hashem comes to Nasan. Hashem says, Nasan, you know, you made a good decision. It's taka right. Times have changed, but not David. David cannot be the one to implement this because David has blood on his hands. And it's asked him to wait until Shlomo HaMelech. David, Nasan goes back to David and tells David, sorry, there's been a change of plans. What you did, what I wanted to do was good, but not you. And David was very, very pained. And then this is what the Medrash over here says, David had enormous, enormous grief. But then Nasan said, but don't worry, it will be your son, Shlomo. Mikol Adam Adam Miskane Chutz Mibinoi V'Talmido. When David heard that his own son, Shlomo, will be the one that will do it, then he had the Chama, and then he said, Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis L'David. I get credit for this. It's my son that's going to build it, but I still get the credit. Okay, we'll stop over here. Take a short break.